And we come to study your word, to be ministered to by the truth. We don't come with agenda or any any motives or just attitudes that aren't fitting. We are in your house and we want to have the right mind, the right attitude, and really have a heart to receive from you. And Lord, we know it requires faith. And so God, we come by faith. And Lord, I know that when we come by faith and we hear your word as it is indeed your word of truth, you transform our lives. And so God, we pray that you would do that work, that we would leave here better than when we came. And we give you all glory, Jesus, and we give you our attention, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to think of a person that you hold in honor. What was it, or what is it about them that causes you to hold them in high esteem? You know, Paul, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance." Now, there's a leader that I hold in high esteem, though he's not with us anymore. Yet, God called him to a wonderful work. And the work that God called him to was not easy, yet he faithfully, while he was here on the earth, he served the Lord our God. And his life continues to provide spiritual guidance, especially in times when life is not easy. Any of you ever find yourself in a time when life is not easy? Well, who am I talking about? I'm talking about the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah. And you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 as we'll be going through the chapter. And Elijah, he was one who trusted God in times of trouble. And his life, it offers us profound lessons, and I love him in the sense of, you know, what I can learn and study, because I see a man that loved God and lived a way that I can glean from today. Life has difficulties. I would imagine if we all had the mic, we could share difficulties, either that we're in, that we've been in, or concerns and worries about things that we might be facing. So I titled this message, "Relying on God in Difficult Times." Relying on God in difficult times. Elijah's reliance on God during difficult times teaches us four helpful things about God that we can hold on to in those times when we are going through challenges. If you're a note taker, you can write these down. The first is, in difficult times, it's so important to hold on to the fact that God is in control. The second thing is that in difficult times, we have to remember, because sometimes those difficult times are times of drought, if you would, times of famine, times of leanness. And in those times, we have to remember that no matter what, God meets our needs. As his sons and daughters, God meets our needs. The third thing is that in difficult times, God works best when we trust and obey him. There are times when we find ourselves in difficult times, we want to snap. You ever feel that way? There's times I feel like I want to snap, you know? I've been walking the straight and narrow for so many years, I deserve to snap. Life's getting hard. I don't know if you ever feel that way. But God works best. Not that God can't work, even in our times of failure and weakness. But what I've learned and what we'll see is when we obey and trust the Lord, we see God work in great ways. And I love that about God. There's a lot of things that I know I've missed out on because in those times of challenge, I resorted to the world or to myself. And after a while of even as we sang, I'm not going back. But after a while, sometimes when we've gone back to old ways, old things, you just get tired of that. And you finally come to a point where it's like, you know what? I'm going to trust and obey you. I get to see you working in greater ways that way. The last thing, the fourth thing, is in difficult times, God brings life to worsening situations. Because we all know that it's bad, but it can always get worse. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And God can bring life to those worsening situations. You know, as children of God, we must rely on Him during difficult times. And Elijah's story reminds us of this. Now, just a little bit of background. The kingdom of Israel was led by King Ahab at this time. Under Ahab's leadership, the kingdom was at an all-time low spiritually. The nation was going through a difficult time, and it was really because of Ahab's wickedness and his leadership, the people being under that wicked leadership, and things were going to get worse. But God, in spite of Ahab, God was in control. And God would bring judgment upon the nation and provide opportunities for repentance and spiritual growth. And through Elijah's ministry, God demonstrated during this period that we're starting to study, as we're going to be studying the life of Elijah and what God did during his ministry as a prophet. During that time, God demonstrated his continual presence and provision for those that trust him. Now, God didn't forsake his people. God will never forsake his people, even though his people forsook him. And that's one thing we can always be encouraged by and be reminded of, that in those times when we forsake the Lord, he never forsakes us. You know, it's always one step, you know, to turn, repentance. It's just that, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. And you know, there's never been a time when I've cried out to the Lord that he's ever said, you know what, I've had enough. Never. He's always been so wonderful to help me. You know, it says of our Lord, and he's so awesome, that he was tempted in all points, even as we are, yet he never sinned. Therefore, he is able to help, to aid, to help those who are being tempted. Now, Elijah's ministry serves as a beacon to remind the people of God that God is always in control, no matter what it looks like out there. Not only is God always in control, he is all powerful. He is here. He is among us. He is present. He is merciful, even in difficult times. So let's consider the first point. In difficult times, God is in control. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Look at what it says. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give word." Now, the reason why this happened, if you remember, why this judgment is coming and how God is showing that he is sovereign and that he is the King of Kings, he is the God, the Lord of Lords, even though Ahab probably thought he was in control, is because in verse 33 of 1 Kings chapter 16, it tells us he, that is Ahab, did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. Now, as much as King Ahab thought he was in control, he would soon learn that God is truly the one in control. You know, I think about the times that were going on here in 1 Kings chapter 17, and I can't help to see like a very similar situation that we're living in and dealing with, because our country is certainly experiencing some difficult times. Spiritually, I would say our country is at an all-time low. There's worries about economics. I mean, economically, things are just so expensive. The housing market's going up. I mean, people are worried that the next generation is not going to be able to afford a house. The interest, I mean, there's just so much that's happening. The price of a chicken. When was the last time you bought a whole chicken at Wegmans? I remember they were $4.99. You get this whole chicken. Now they're, I don't know, $7, $8, $9, and they're small. They're like Cornish hens. They're just tiny. $10. $12. Can I hear 30? I mean, we're headed that way. You know, during the tribulation, a loaf of bread is going to cost a day's wage. Socially, look at all the unrest and all the rioting and all the trouble that's happening in our country. And it's not just in our country, really. It's all over the world, isn't it? Politically, a lot of unrest. I mean, I don't remember. I've never really followed politics as much as I have in the last maybe 10, 15 years. But man, the hostility and the hatred between parties, it just gets worse and worse. And then there's the global relations. You know, there's so many different wars and things that have been taking place. And it's just really been difficult times for us in our country. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Oh, hasn't there been a lot of groaning lately? And it's so sad, you know, in times like this, sometimes we might feel, where is God? Where is God in all this? Well, the ministry of Elijah reminds us that when the world's in trouble, God is very much still in control. Everything is going according to God's plan. And we have to hold on to this as sons and daughters. You know, though we may not always see it, feel it, struggle sometimes to believe it, God is very much accomplishing his will, and everything is working together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Remember what our Paul said under the inspiration of our Lord. He said that he who has called you is faithful to complete it. He also said the good work that he's begun in you, he's faithful to complete it. And you and I, we hold on to these truths. God is in control and he's accomplishing his will. You know, really, in a sense, I almost feel bad, instead of for myself and for, you know, how challenging it could be being Christians, being salt and light in a world that's so dark and so antichrist. And sometimes we can get into a, you know, this is horrible and that mentality. But sometimes I feel bad, as strange as this might sound, I feel bad for the wicked. Those that don't and won't repent. They refuse to repent. Because there's going to be two different outcomes. You know, real quick, just listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 1, where he says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Of course, mockers of God and of God's people. "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night," just like what we're doing. "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." But now look at the contrast. But not the wicked. "They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." You know, instead of feeling bad for myself, sometimes I think, wow, I feel bad for them. Because we know the whole story. We know in the end, God has given us the victory. We've already won. This is just temporary. And in times when we're going through hard times and things are challenging, no matter how troubling the times are, and even worsen, the saints can hold on to the fact that God is in control. Now, a little side note. It tells us here, Elijah in verse 1, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." You know, I love Elijah-type men and women that God raises up. You know, when things are at their darkest, God is always faithful to raise up an Elijah. Let me ask you, how many Elijahs did God raise up in your dark days? Those men and women that came in and they spoke into your life when you were much like an Ahab, those days before Christ, when you were worldly, you were self-centered, and walking in the lusts of the flesh. You know, there was times when a few of those Elijahs in my dark days, when they came and they spoke to me the word of God, you know, their messages upset me. Have you ever had that experience? Before you came to Christ and someone would, like an Elijah, would come and strong and give you a warning. Hey, if you don't get your life right, man, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And most people don't enjoy listening to that, especially while you're partying and doing all worldly kinds of things. It's like, get out of here, man. But you know, even in troubled times, God was faithful to raise up those Elijahs in our lives to speak God's word. And in my case, and I would imagine in all of our cases, God's word won. Aren't you glad that God's word wins? It's sad for those who don't let God's word work, but for us, God's word won. And I'm so thankful for those Elijahs that God raises up. You know, pray that God will give you an Ahab. A person that's in the world, and that you can be an Elijah to that person. And when the opportunity comes, be bold, yet gentle, and share God's word faithfully, just as Elijah was, setting an example for us. And when it's all said and done, pray that the spoken word to him or to her wins. the Spirit of God would do that work in that person's heart. After that time that you spent with that Ahab, if you would, being an Elijah to them, you pray and say, God, just continue to hound them. Spirit of God, continue to soften their hearts to the things that were shared about you. You know, in difficult times, we have to hold on to the fact that God is in control, but we also have to remind ourselves when we're going through difficult times financially or whatever it may be, that God meets our needs. He doesn't meet our greeds, but he does meet our needs. Elijah, though not the one who was the cause of the difficult times, that was Ahab. Ahab, what he was doing was affecting everybody. And it's so sad when you have leaders that have the potential to honor God and do what's right, but they choose not to, and their bad decisions affect everybody. And so Elijah, even though he's a man of God, being faithful to share God's word, he's a servant of the Lord, he's not exempt. He's not exempt from experiencing the tough times himself. It's a tough time of drought. Water is scarce. Food is scarce. However, God is faithful in times of drought to meet Elijah's need. Look at verse 2. It tells us, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kirith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kirith Brook east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. God was faithful to provide for Elijah in very unusual ways in these difficult days. You know, we have to be open to the fact that in trying times, God provides sometimes in very unusual ways. It's easy to see Elijah saying, what? Ravens? God, come on, I don't want to get the bird flu. You know, birds, they have so many diseases. Can't you do something better? You're God. I mean, this is not what I want. But Elijah, he just yielded and received the Lord's provision without complaining, even though it may not have been what he wanted or what he was used to. Elijah did what the Lord told him, and this is our best reply when God meets our needs, especially in unusual ways. You know, in troubled times, things often get worse before they get better, and it's critical to hold on to what we've already been reminded of. When bad gets worse, God is in control. When bad gets worse, God meets our needs. And it's going to get worse for Elijah. Look at verse 7. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Things just got worse. For the man of God, who's doing the right thing, things just got worse for Elijah. But God was in control, and God was going to meet Elijah's need. And Elijah just needed to trust and obey, because God can work when his servants trust and obey. And this is the third point. In difficult times, God works best when we trust and obey him. And it tells us in verse 8, then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Zidon. And note this, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. So first he has a raven that comes and feeds him. God's providing for him. He's drinking the water from the brook. That dries up. Now he has a widow God's going to use to provide for him. And as he arrived at the gate of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he said to her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bit of bread too. Well, when he said that, she said, I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of my jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Now, it's obvious that Elijah understood that trusting and obeying God is the best way to see God's provision. That's why he was following the instruction of the Lord. And remember, I said, note how the Lord had, he said to Elijah, he had instructed a woman to provide for him. But the widow, she had not come to that same understanding. And she just wasn't there yet. The scriptures were very clear. It told us that the Lord had instructed her to provide for him. But it doesn't seem like she was responding to that. She wasn't there yet. And I could see why. She had some legitimate issues. She was struggling with being a widow. I mean, she had lost her husband. We don't know anything about that experience for her, but she lost her husband. That had to be very, very difficult. She still had a son in the home. We don't know how old he was, but if he was not an adult, which it doesn't seem like he was, if he was living with mom, he was probably still, you know, a teenager or maybe even younger. She was a single mom, and then she was broke, and she didn't have anything. She said, all I got is a little bit of flour and some oil, and, you know, that's all I got. That's our last meal, basically. It's our last meal, and then we're going to die. She was broke. And then she was defeated in spirit because she said, we're going to die. This is it. She kind of like gave up. She just was of that attitude, and we don't know how long the famine was going, or even if the famine started recently, the drought, she could have just had one episode after another episode, and then now here's a drought, and it's just, she got defeated in her spirit. You know, and in the natural, they were certainly legitimate struggles, but God was in control, and God was going to meet her needs, and she needed to learn this herself, and the widow was being tested. How was she being tested? Well, she would have to see things not through the natural, but through the eyes of faith, and she was going to be tested, as we're going to see, because Elijah said to her, as we're going to see, feed me first. And, you know, it's like, I only have a little here for me and my son. That's it. And you want me to feed you first? You know, this was a test too. He was just saying, hey, give me some bread. So she was being tested. And she would need to walk by faith and trust and obey God to see God at work. You know, verse 9 tells us, as I said, you know, God speaking, I have instructed a widow there to feed you, but the widow was afraid to trust the instruction of the Lord. I believe deep down in her spirit, God had already spoken to her, and she knew what she should do, but she was afraid to do it. And verse 13 confirms this. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. And then here it is, but make a little bread for me first. This just made the challenge a little bit more challenging. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. You know, Elijah, what he did was he just encouraged her. He encouraged her to do what she already knew in her heart the Lord had instructed her to do. And sometimes some people, that's what they need. They're afraid to obey, and they just need an Elijah. They just need somebody to come along and encourage them in God's instruction. She was already afraid, but her faith would be tested even more at the words of Elijah when he said, "Make a little bread for me." And it says, if Elijah is saying, "Listen, if you want to see God work, you need to obey and trust in what he instructed you to do by putting him first." This was a test for her. And by her doing what the prophet said, that would be putting God first, rising up to the test of faith. And a little encouragement went a long way. You know, sometimes people just need that, a little bit of encouragement. Now, verse 15 tells us, so she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many days. There was, notice this, always enough. Always enough. She passed the test. And her times of struggle and her times when she was feeling defeated and feeling like this is it, this is the end, she was challenged to walk by faith, and she rose up to the challenge, and then God was so faithful to do a work. He responded to that obedience and that trust, and he provided for her, and there was enough. You know, sometimes people want more than what God wants for them. You know, we've learned, many of us have learned to just be content. You know, the Bible tells us godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's such a blessing when we know things aren't what we wish they were, but God is so faithful to give us enough. To give us enough. And there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Now, it's interesting because here are two people that are experiencing the same things, and you know, they experience these three things. In difficult times, God is in control. In difficult times, God meets our needs. In difficult times, God works best when we trust and obey him. Both of them, Elijah, the prophet, and the widow, they both had to hold on to the fact that God was in control. God was going to meet their needs. And they were able to see God do his work when they trusted and obeyed him. But when you think things just can't get any worse, think again, they do. Things often get worse before they get better. And we have to learn as followers of Christ to be okay with this reality of life, knowing that God brings life to worsening situations, which is our fourth point. In difficult times, God brings life to worsening situations. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick, verse 17 tells us. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, "O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" Now, we have to pause and just be mindful that people express grief in different ways. And generally speaking, we should allow people to express their grief unless they express it in a harmful or in a destructive way. In times when a person who's grieving begins to behave in a destructive way, then of course we should step in somehow and try to help or get them help. But this widow was grieving. She wasn't destructive, but she just wasn't thinking right. And it's understandable. You know, she lost her husband. Now she has lost her son, and she was consumed with grief. And as a result, she's not thinking right, and so what she starts doing is she starts blaming Elijah. You ever find yourself in just a challenging time in life and you just aren't thinking right? And you just start blaming everybody else. It's that pastor, that stinking pastor. You know, that pastor is just, he's not meeting my needs, and he's not, you know, there when I need him. He's, you know, well, I'm going to let you down. I'll tell you that up front. If you haven't learned soon, just hang out with me long enough. You're going to realize I can't put my trust in man. I got to put my trust in Jesus. Now, I don't mean to let anybody down. If I have, I'm very sorry. I don't even know it. And if for whatever reason you got some kind of concern or issue with me, I have no idea. It's better that you just keep it to yourself, because I don't want to find out. It could make our relationship go real bad, and I don't want to be put in a situation. I've been put in situations like that, and people share things with me, and it blows me out of the water, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even know you're thinking that way. I don't feel this. I had no clue. I am blindsided by this. You know, sometimes we want to blame other people. It's not the pastor. It's my husband, or it's my wife, or it's my boss, or it's my kids, or it's... But sometimes life has that effect on us where we just aren't thinking right, and it's not good to start blaming other people, you know? She said, it's your fault, basically, Elijah, that my son is dead. You did this to me. And that's not the case at all. And it's interesting because I don't know where she got this from, but she says to him, you came here to point out my sins. In other words, you know, you make me feel bad about myself. Maybe it was just she wasn't being genuine and true, because we come to find out that she had her doubts about him. Here he's a man of God. God's working through him, providing for her through him. God's using Elijah in that way, and she's looking at Elijah in such a bad light, in such a negative light, but it's probably because of how she feels inside. And she's just not really quite trusting him for whatever reason. There's really no reason, but she has her doubts about him. So she's got this view of him where she starts blaming him. And, you know, Elijah understood. He understood she was grieving and you know, really didn't take what she said personally. Really, in reality, it looks like he just felt bad for her, because you see how he replied to her. He didn't tell her, hey, lady, you know, since I've been here, I've been taking care of you. You know, God's been doing things. You know, you don't have a husband, but now you have food. I mean, you got enough. We've been seeing God do great things. I didn't kill your son. And, you know, if you get convicted in my presence because I come around, that's between you and the Lord. You know, don't try to put that on me. He didn't do any of that, although he could have. He didn't do any of that. Actually, he felt bad for her. Look at what it tells us in verse 19. But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord. And he says, oh, Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this woman who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? You know, he starts interceding for this woman, crying out for her. And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the room, the upper room, and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. Now, up until this point, Elijah doesn't know that the widow, who on the surface seems to be on board with everything, has her doubts about him. And we find this out in the last verse when the woman tells Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you." Did you not know that before? I mean, didn't Elijah tell her, "Hey, you go ahead, make me some bread first, and then you and your son eat, and God will provide for you. You will always have oil and bread." She did it, and God was faithful to his promise. Didn't she know this already? God had already spoken to her before Elijah even got there, and she was hesitant. She was doubting. She had a hard time when Elijah first told her, "Hey, do this. God will bless it. God will honor your obedience and faithfulness." And she was like, "I don't know. I mean, I only got enough for me and my son." But she went ahead and stepped in faith and did it. And then now here we find out that she had her doubts. You know, God was working with this widow through the prophet Elijah, but the widow still had her doubts. You know, doubt is a human thing, but doubt and faith cannot coexist long term. You know, there comes a point in our times of trouble that we have to stop dwelling in all that's happened to me, like the woman. You know, my husband, I lost my husband, I lost my son, I'm broke, I got nothing, discouraged. At some point, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we got to start embracing the fact that God is in control. God does provide for his people. God works best when we trust and obey him. We have to be just firm on what we know about God when things don't seem that way, and that God can even bring life to worsening situations. This is bad, and yes, it might get worse, but God is with me. And God can redeem this. God can bring life to this. Good can come out of it. You know, the Bible tells us that God makes beauty out of ashes, and we must believe these things. Doubt and faith cannot coexist long term. This widow's faith needed to be helped in order for her faith to grow. She had to get past this point, and God was working in her life and using Elijah. She had that mentality of, "I believe, but help my unbelief." I get that. And I don't think she was even aware of it fully, but God was going to help her grow out of it, and he knew just how, and it needed to be severe for her. And it doesn't always work the same with everyone, but sometimes God takes severe measures to get somebody to grow, because somebody gets in such a down state and they forget that God is in control. They forget that God is their provider. They forget that it's important to be obedient and trust God when things aren't going easy, because that's when you'll see God do his best work. They forget that God is a God who can bring life to worsening situations, impossible situations. And so this woman would now learn this. It was severe, but sometimes God uses severe measures because he knows that's the only way we'll grow out of bad ways of thinking, unbiblical ways of thinking. Even though he may use severe measures, God knows that he will bring life to our worsening situations. He knows what he can do. We have to trust him. Even situations that seem dead, that is impossible. God is the God of the impossible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. After this severe experience, the widow finally overcame her doubts in God's man, Elijah. Overall, she learned the hard way. She learned the hard way to trust that God was working through Elijah. and the lessons that came along with her getting solid faith, God brings to worsening situations. What a lesson brings life to worsening situations. What a lesson she learned. You know, bringing this message to a close, it's so important for us to reflect. I've mentioned these things over and over, but it's important for us to reflect on the lessons we've learned from the life of the prophet Elijah, a true leader in the Lord's work, those whose faithfulness continues to inspire many, inspires me, inspires hopefully all of us today. Elijah's story teaches us invaluable lessons about relying on God in difficult times. Now, I want you to think about your own life, your own situation. What difficult times are you dealing with? You don't have to, of course, say anything out loud, but what's a difficult situation you're dealing with? Maybe you're wondering, God, where are you? Where are you in this? You know, I know when I first got saved, that was many, many years ago, but there was things that the Lord, I realize, looking back, he just like kind of did all the work for me. So I was on, you know, cloud nine for a good part of the time. But then as I continued to grow, you know, there's test principles. God teaches you things, then he tests you. And as I started to grow, God started to test me and allow me to go through some troubled times and to bring back some of those troubles and struggles I had, because he wanted me to realize, you know, Dave, it's not a walk of feelings. It's a walk of faith. And I was really the one carrying you. You thought you were doing so great. I was the one carrying you. I want you to grow up now. It's time for you to grow up, Dave. And I'm so thankful that God used some difficult times to help me grow up. Maybe you're in one of those situations. And these situations, they show you that, you know, it's time to grow up. And so, if you're facing a difficult time, you know, is it a control issue? You have to be in control. If it's a control issue, we have to remember God is sovereign. God is in control. And to resist God is to not surrender to the Lord, it's just to our own hurt. We just prolong the issue. And there's no peace in there. There's duplicity of life in there. There's going to the world or, you know, using secretly, you know, prescription drugs, or, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that's not consistent with the calling on our lives that we could resort to, and it's hush hush, but God knows. It's not a secret to the Lord. So the best thing to do to gain peace and to gain a spiritual perspective and to grow, the best thing to do is just relinquish, surrender to the Lord. Just surrender. God, I can't do this anymore. I can't try to make this work. You do the best work. You can be in control, God. I don't have to be in control. I surrender. You know, maybe it's a need issue. Maybe financially you're going through a hard time. You know, remember, God meets our needs. You know, it might not be what you want, but God is always faithful to provide. You know, just rely upon him. You know, sometimes we have to just be content with our lot in life. You know, Paul said, I've learned to be content, whether I have much or whether I have little. I've learned how to be content. And contentment, as I said earlier, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. And sometimes we have to just learn how to be content, knowing that God will always provide enough. And if you want to see God do his best things for you, the best thing that you can do to see God work in wonderful ways for you is just to trust and obey him. Because we know In Elijah's story, we see that God does his best work when people trust and obey him and get over their fears, get over their doubts, get over their hesitation. And no matter what the situation may be that you might be going through or facing, or how bad it gets, hold on to the fact that God, he brings life to worsening situations. God works all things for the good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, I say this often, but it's worth repeating. The worst thing, Christian, that could ever happen to you would be that you never made a commitment to Christ, and as a result, you would spend eternity in hell. That's the worst thing that could have ever happened to you. But the worst thing that could have ever happened to you, because you are a child of God, will never happen to you. You are heaven-bound, saint. It's an upward calling. Keep a light touch on the things of this world. Make Jesus the joy of your troubling circumstances. And God will cause you to have a feast in what might seem to you like a prison. God will give you such freedom because he is just that awesome. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and for this time that we can spend being encouraged by your word. I pray, God, that you continue to pour out your blessings upon us, your people, as we worship you and as we fellowship and throughout the rest of this week, God. The things that we've heard, the things that we've learned, I pray, God, that you would help us to not soon forget them. And Lord, we look at Elijah's life and we say thank you, God, for men of that we can hold in high esteem, men that lived for you in very difficult times. And he sets a pattern for us. We're living in difficult times. And God, we want to follow those good patterns. And we thank you, Jesus, that you've given us your word, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of you and how to better serve you and to serve those that are around us. We give you all glory and honor, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.